भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This evening we're reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, entitled The Most Confidential Knowledge, text number 19. I hope. Tapami aham aham varsham nigranami utsrijami cha amritam chaiva mrityush cha sad asach chaham arjuna tapamyahamaham varsham nigrinamyutsrijami cha amritam chaiva mrityush cha Sarasachaham Arjuna. Give heat. Aham. I. Aham. I. Varsham. Rain. Nigranami. Withhold. Utsrijami. Send forth, cha, and, amritam, immortality, cha, and, eva, certainly, mrityuhu, death, cha, and, sat, spirit, asat, matter, cha, and aham I Arjuna O Arjuna Translation O Arjuna I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain I am immortality and I am also death personified both spirit and matter are in me. Responsively, everyone may please repeat. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Krishna, by his different energies, diffuses heat and light through the agency of electricity and the sun. During summer season, it is Krishna who checks rain from falling from the sky. And then, during the rainy season, he gives unceasing torrents of rain. The energy which sustains us by prolonging the duration of our life is Krishna. And Krishna meets us at the end as death. By analyzing all these different energies of Krishna, one can ascertain that for Krishna there is no distinction between matter and spirit, or, in other words, he is both matter and spirit. In the advanced stage of Krishna consciousness, one therefore makes no such distinctions. He sees only Krishna in everything. Since Krishna is both matter and spirit, the gigantic universal form comprising all material manifestations is also Krishna. And his pastimes in Vrindavan as two-handed Shyama Sundar playing on a flute are those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tapamyaham aham varsham nigrinami utsrijami cha amritam chaiva mrityuscha sarasaccha aham Arjuna. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. So here is further description of the opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is achintya. He is inconceivable. We are very small and we are very proud. Especially human beings think that there is no greater being than them within the universe. Nowadays, of course, they are suspecting that there may be life on other planets or in outer space. So they're doing a little research, but they really have no conception that their existence is very tiny and very insignificant. We practically, we cannot even see the nose on our own face, what to speak of being able to see other planets and to see other living beings in the universe. And yet men say that if I cannot see it, I don't believe it. If there is God, then show me. This is simply a demonstration of their manifest pride, false pride. If the lights are turned out, they can't even see their hand 2 feet in front of their own face. The power of seeing is limited. And yet, Krishna, he is unlimited. Therefore, Krishna makes a condition. He is prepared to reveal himself. Although God is achintya, or inconceivable, although he is unlimited, although he is beyond the limit of our sensuous, as Prabhupada says, our sensuous gaze of inspection, on that happening album, he reads from, well, actually, he has made up a little speech, but he's taken from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in the Brahma Samhita, that the absolute truth is beyond our sensuous gaze of inspection. In common language, it means that no matter how hard you try to see, you'll never see Krishna with these eyes. You can get a powerful microscope. You can get an electron microscope. You can get a laser telescope. You can look everywhere within and without in the universe. You are not going to find Krishna unless Krishna wants to reveal himself. And Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. You can even look in the Vedas and not find Krishna. But Krishna reveals himself to his devotees. Bhaktosime Sakacheti. Arjuna, you're a grihastha. Not only that, you have three wives. You're not a brahmana. You're a passionate kshatriya. But you have one qualification. Tatute guyatamam pravakshami anasuyave. You're not envious of me, and you're very friendly towards me. You're surrendered to me. Therefore, I am revealing to you this most confidential knowledge, knowing which you can live peacefully in the material world, and at the end you can come to me and free yourself from the cycle of repeated birth and death. What could be greater than that? People don't even know the goal of knowledge. What to speak of acquiring knowledge, they don't know where they're going. They're simply wandering aimlessly without any compass. If you get lost in the forest and you have a compass, there's a chance you can find your way out. But if you don't even have a compass, then you could wander around in circles for days and finally die in the forest because you have no idea where you're going. So the materialistic men, they rely upon their body, their mind, and their intelligence to guide them. But the devotee of the Lord, he surrenders his body, mind, and intelligence to Krishna. He allows Krishna to reveal himself to the devotee through body, mind, and intelligence, through the senses, giving the devotee wonderful thoughts, manmana bhavamad bhakto, by constantly thinking of Krishna. And buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. I give you the intelligence by which you can come to me, because you are my devotee, because you are not envious of me. And that is the qualification that we need to develop. Non-enviousness. And we develop this qualification by rendering service to Krishna. And what does Krishna say about rendering service to Krishna? He says, Tasmat parataram devi tadhyanam samarchanam. Actually, Lord Krishna doesn't say it, but his topmost devotee, Lord Shiva, says it, that even higher than worship of Krishna is worship of Krishna's devotees. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, but is acting as a devotee to teach us, Ami Achari Bhakti Shikaimu Savare, I teach by my example. Just words is not enough, but I'm teaching by my achar, my sadachar, my pure behavior. I'm showing the way, so there's no doubt. And he says, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Das Adas Anudas. I am not a Brahmana, naham vipro, nacha, naramati. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a Brahmana, although he was a very elevated sannyasi from the highest Brahmin family, Saraswat Brahmin family. And he was a great scholar. He had so many qualifications. But he said, I am none of these upadis, none of these things. I have no connection with these things. My real designation is that I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Lord Krishna. So this is how we can develop a non-envious, humble, submissive attitude to Lord Krishna. A non-envious, humble, submissive attitude to Lord Krishna. By developing a non-envious, humble attitude to Lord Krishna's devotees. Pariprashnena sevaya. The key, sevaya, rendering service. We're so accustomed to rendering service to our own mind and our own senses. And this keeps us entangled in the material world. We have no other business in the material world than gratifying all of our senses. We're working hard day and night. We build big, big cities, wonderful cars, wonderful cinema houses, health clubs, airplanes. So much endeavor. It's not for serving Krishna. People, even religious people, they want to enjoy sense gratification, so they go to the temple or the church and the mosque and they pray to God for more facility for their sense gratification. That's their idea of spiritual life. They don't understand A, B, or C. They don't even understand the beginning of spiritual life. I'm not this body. I have nothing to do with the material world, and my happiness is not in sense gratification. In fact, sense gratification is causing me all the misery that I'm experiencing. The body's a lump of ignorance. Sharira avidyajal. It's not time for prasadam yet. Relax. The body is a lump of ignorance. It's a network. Actually, in the West, in the early days, we, until Hri Dayananda Maharaj taught us all how to be Sanskrit scholars, we spoke the Bhagavad Gita in English. When devotees memorized verses, it was always in English. And when we chanted prayers, it was always in English. So when we would sit down to prasadam, it would be, O Lord, this material body is a lump of ignorance, is a lump of, you know, and we would say the whole thing in English. So we actually knew what it meant. But nowadays, you know, sharira, vidya, everybody's chanting. I don't know what it means, but we have to do it before we eat, you know. A network of paths. The senses are a network of paths leading to death. So we give all of our energy and all of our effort, all of our enthusiasm, religious people, to enjoying sense gratification, and then they go crying to God to stop their suffering. But if God told them, stop your sense gratification, they would stop God. They think that, just like if you have a drama on stage, or the deities, you have a backdrop, you know, you have a picture of Vrindavan and some cows and things, somebody makes a painting and then the deities are there. That's called a backdrop. So, even religious people, they see that all of nature, all the animals, all the birds, all the fish, everything is just a backdrop for their enjoyment. God has put us here to enjoy, and after we enjoy meat eating and intoxication and gambling and illicit sex, if we just say, thank you, Jesus, then everything's okay. But that's so far off the mark. You know, when you shoot a bow and you hit the mark, that's like, you know, you didn't even hit the target at all. That's, your arrows just went off into the woods. You wasted your arrows. Spiritual life means you understand in the very beginning that I'm the soul. What is the use in giving all my energy to this body? Srama eva hi kevalam. If it doesn't give me attraction, even a little bit, for my ultimate goal, for Krishna Nam, Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Seva, if it's not leading me in that direction, then it's a waste of my time. And time is running out. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? And Bhakti Vinod, why do we remain idle? Not serve Krishna. Krishna is everywhere. He's the supreme controller of everything. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. He's the light of the sun and the moon. He's within every atom. Sarvam kalvidam brahma. There's nothing but Krishna. Everywhere, within everything, it's all his energy. Shakti shakti matayor, abhinna. There's no abhinna, there's no bhinna. There's no difference between Krishna and his energy. Krishna says, natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. I have no work to be done. And yet, svabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. By my energies, everything is going on. Nothing is separate from me. Everything is connected to me. And you can understand this. In India, we, right from the beginning, we were preaching to very, very wealthy, powerful businessmen, because Krishna Bhakti is the religion of a few billion people. It's not a cult in India. So the wealthiest people in the country, just for example, recently the president of India, who's read all of Prabhupada's books and loves Srila Prabhupada, he glorified Srila Prabhupada at the opening of our Bangalore temple. So we've been preaching to these kind of people all along. And I've seen how a very wealthy man who has hundreds of factories and tens of thousands of workers under him, and he's making so much money, and he's probably about 70 or 80 years old, he can't go around and visit every one of them every day, but he's got things so well organized that G.D. Babu, you know, G.D. Birla, Babu means like businessman, or it's a respectful term, like Abhai Babu. Prabhupada was known as Abhai Babu when he had his business and whatnot. Even the members of the Gaudiya Mutt used to refer to him as Abhai Babu. So G.D. Birla, his energy was felt everywhere throughout his empire. His orders were there. And he would visit some factories. He wouldn't announce it. So everybody was on their toes. Because when he cracked the whip, you know, he could give someone a job and encourage them and pay them a very good salary. He would pay top salary for a good, loyal man. But someone who didn't perform hit the road, Jack. I mean, he would immediately he would kick them out. You know, if you didn't perform, then, you know, you were gone. You were not future, you were finished. So he would go to one of his factories, and he would do things like, he'd go to the factory, and, you know, there'd be a little contingent, a little group of managers there to show him around. And you know what kind of tour you get. Everything's been properly manicured and organized so that all you see is, you know, everything completely clean and everything well organized. He would walk out of that group and go straight to the workers' bathroom. And that's where he would check first, the workers' bathroom, how clean that was. And from that, he could tell how well the factory was organized. And people were afraid of this. And therefore, they made sure that everything in the factory was well organized because they liked the good salary and the facilities they were getting. And therefore, they took the trouble to do a good job. And his energy was felt everywhere. So Krishna is existing throughout the cosmos, and he is organizing everything through his energies and through his appointed representatives, such as the demigods. There is a management system in the universe. That's why the sun comes up every day. You know, people say, oh, it's just nature that in the autumn the leaves fade and change colors and fall off the tree. Or it's just that things stay in their orbit. It's gravity. Well, what is gravity? Well, we're working on it. We don't know yet, but it's gravity. Why do fish swim upstream to lay their eggs? Salmon fish, every year they swim against the current. It's instinct. What is instinct? You know, instinct. They just automatically, they know. No, it's not instinct. You stink. That's the problem. Your intelligence stinks. It's Krishna within the heart. Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sani Vishto Mata Smritir Gyanam Apoanam Cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And we can see this if we want to. We just have to train ourselves how to see Krishna everywhere. Electricity's everywhere. But if you want to use electricity, you have to call an electrician because he knows the science, how to connect. And Krishna is everywhere. And Dantarasta Paramanu Chayantarastam. He's within every atom. And he's our only hope. Surrender to Krishna is our only ticket back to home, back to Godhead. We are sat, or eternal, but we're living a miserable temporary life full of anxiety and suffering. And we try so hard to adjust things. We make so many plans to change things. We get so optimistic, and then everything is frustrated. And at the end, we won't surrender to Krishna, so Krishna comes as Kala, as time factor, and he cuts you down, and you didn't surrender to him, so you get to come back again and try all over. You get to go through old age, disease, and death again. And you get to enjoy a little sex again. And you get, once we're in Los Angeles, and Prabhupada was on a morning walk. This was in 1970. And there was a billboard. And I don't know, I can't remember who put up the billboard. It was pretty amazing. But the billboard said, I think there was a movie or something. It was called, Is There Sex Life After Death? I mean, you got to be really enthusiastic about sex life to ask that question. In fact, you're probably in the wrong species of life. You should be a pigeon or, pig or something. So Prabhupada said, yes, you should tell them, yes, there is. In fact, there is sex life after death and after death and after death and after death, as long as you want. But there's also unlimited suffering. As long as you accept the body as the self, then you have to go through all the concomitant miseries, all the associated miseries. But you are an eternal soul. Look a little carefully and you will be able to see it. Now to free yourself, you have to take up the process of bhakti yoga. Then you'll be empowered to cut through the fog. Now winter is coming on. In the mornings when you drive to work or go on the bus, there'll be fog and it'll be hard to go on the path because you can't see more than 10 feet in front of your car. So you have to have special yellow lights or something that'll cut through the fog. When the sun comes out, then the fog dissipates. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andakar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. Wherever there is Krishna, there is light. Darkness, ignorance cannot stand. So bring Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, by glorifying Krishna, by serving Krishna, by doing everything you're doing. You stay in your place. What is that? Stane stitha. Stana. You stay in your stana, just like Pakistana, Rajasthan. Stana means place. So stane stitha. You remain in your place. But you constantly engage in remembering Krishna. Instead, you train yourself somehow or other. This is your need. You need to do this. No one's going to do it for you. You have to be proactive. All glories to Bhakti Stephen. You have to be proactive. You have to get up and do it yourself. No one's going to make you Krishna conscious. You have to get some willpower from within yourself. You have to recognize that if I don't do this, what am I faced with? Always ask yourself, what is the alternative? Is it better or worse? And if you're honest with yourself, old age, disease, and death are never better. They're always worse. So, take to Krishna consciousness, regulate your life in Krishna consciousness, cut through the fog, and see Krishna now, before the time of death. And serve Krishna now. And in that way, you can actually be happy even in this life. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya nachayuktasya bhavana. yukta. This yukta means linking, just like yoga means linking with God. So without linking with the transcendental energy, with the spiritual energy, you as a spiritual being, prisoned or shackled to this body, you're in prison now. You're in the prison house of this body. Your consciousness wants to escape. It wants to be free. But you can't go beyond the limits of this body. You've got your own private cell. And you're in solitary confinement. In jail, you know, when you're a really bad boy, they take you away from all the other prisoners and they put you in a cell with no windows. They call it the hole sometimes. And, you know, it's dark, it's wet, and you never see anybody, and they put you there for a month or 2 months, and it's quite a punishment, actually. So you're in a cell. And I don't mean bhakti vriksha either. You're in the material body, and it's full of miseries. And you've got anxieties and problems and how to deal with them. And you get a psychiatrist and you get an advisor and a consultant and, you know, you get a friend and a lover and, but you're still alone. They can't help you. It's an illusion. You can only help yourself. God helps those who help themselves. So stand up and fight. Yudyasva vigata jara. Give up your false ego. Don't be lethargic. Stand and fight. Like Krishna told Arjuna. Become Krishna conscious and you will be happy. Even in this lifetime. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions, comments? Yes. Yes. Dibyam dadami dibyam te chakshu. Krishna can give you divine eyes. I always remember. I love it. I love it. Little, the video, you know, of Moor Willemba. I think it was on 60 Minutes. There's a famous show in America called 60 Minutes. They have it in Australia, too, where they profile somebody or some organization or something for 60 Minutes, and they go in depth and they have their reporters go in. So they did one on the Haris, who were known as the Haris in Australia. So they did one on our farm. It was very good, very nice, but they were interviewing the children at the Gurukula. So they were asking this, you know, darling, cute little boy, naturally, shaved head, tilak, you know, little two-year, three-year-old kid. So they were asking him, what color is Krishna? And he was saying, Krishna is blue, you know. And so then the reporter asked him, well, have you seen Krishna? And he said, no, you got to have the eyes. You've got to have spiritual eyes. you've got to have spiritual eyes. And Krishna will give you those spiritual eyes if you surrender to him. If you... you know, develop love. I mean, just like, it's not hard to develop love by rendering service. Real love comes from service. We confuse that with lust. Lust comes without any service. You bring one boy from one side of the world, you bring one girl from the other, you don't need to give introduction. Immediately they have lust for each other and live miserably ever after. It's funny, in the marriage ceremony, they, you know, do you accept this girl, do you accept this boy, to live happily ever after, you know. Good luck. You can live happily ever after, but you've got to put Krishna in the center, and you have to develop love for Krishna. When you love Krishna, then you will love all Krishna's parts and parcels naturally. It won't be contrived. It won't be that calculating. If I do this, he'll do that, or she'll do this, and what if that? And, you know, that kind of calculation makes life so tense. I don't want to get cheated. I've been cheated before. You know, you see all the movies and television shows today. They're all about men and women who've had two or three or divorces in their lives. And, you know, boy meets girl. And, you know, the last thing they want to do is get married. You know, because she's been cheated twice and he's been cheated one, you know, and they each have three kids from three other marriages. And, you know, you want a relationship with someone based upon Krishna in the center. Same thing. Because you are not envious of me, Arjuna. Because the wife is not envious of the husband is not envious of the wife because they're actually surrendered to Krishna. Therefore it works. Because the friend is not envious of the friend. Like that. Relationships work when they're pure, when they're clean, when they're honest, when they're spontaneous, when they're unmotivated. When they're not profit and loss calculation. When they're sharing and giving more than taking. That's why they work. And the way you can develop that mood is to apply your intelligence and your energy to serving Krishna. He's the first one to serve. And from him everything else comes. Spontaneously. Naturally. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.